What's up, you guys? I'm in beautiful Vera, Florida, where I gave a reboot last night. And I don't care what they say in the news about how the church and faith is supposed to be becoming irrelevant. Literally everywhere I go, here's what I see.
Reboot Vera, Florida. Make some noise. Two-thirds of God's name is?
Okay, I want to talk right now about the simple things that you can do that can change everything in your life, and the four reasons you just generally don't do them. I love the Old Testament story of Naaman the Syrian and Elisha. Naaman was a commander in the Syrian army. He was a high-ranking guy, and he was afflicted with leprosy, which was an absolute nightmare sentence in the ancient world. You had to wear a bell around yourself, ring it, to say that I'm unclean, don't come near me. You'd lose all your loved ones. You couldn't have contact with them anymore. It was a total nightmare. But he had a glimmer of hope. He heard about Elisha the prophet, and he thought, maybe this guy could heal me. So he made a long journey to find Elisha, and Elisha told him when he encountered him, he said, look, just go bathe 7 times in that stream. Come out, you'll be better. What did Naaman do? Naaman was totally enraged. He thought, dude, it can't possibly be that simple. The solution has to be more complicated than that. Otherwise, why would I have come all this way? Naaman's assistant grabbed hold of him, talked some sense into him, and said, look, dude, if he told you to do something complicated, wouldn't you have done that? He said, okay, fine. He's like, well, dude, why don't you go ahead and just bathe 7 times in the stream? If you'd have done something more complicated, do something less complicated. So he did it, and scripture tells us that his skin, his flesh was healed, and he came out and he had the flesh of a newborn. So not only was he restored to health, he was better than before. Guys, we resist simple solutions to hard problems for 4 reasons I want to propose to you. Number one, I think that we're proud. We're thinking, well, dude, if it was that simple, I'd have done it. To which Naaman's assistant said, well, then go ahead and do it. Sometimes it actually is that simple, and it's okay. It's okay. Let go of your pride. It's okay that you didn't see the simple. It's okay that you weren't disciplined enough to do the simple. Change and do it. That's one, number one, is pride. Number two, I'm going to call you on your stuff right now, man. I think sometimes we don't change because we don't want to change. We don't want the end goal of the change. I was actually counseling a guy the other day who is struggling long-term with impurity, was not being pure with his girlfriend. And I said, look, have a plan in place, brother. All right, before you go out on your date, talk to your girlfriend and say, what's the line that when we cross this line, we're at the point of overturn, the train has left the station, so to speak, and it's really hard to pull back, to dial back and do the right thing. Draw the line there, don't cross that line. And that could mean the line could be as strict as we're not going to hang out alone in a house with no one else around. Duh, right? And here's the thing. As I said that, I could see he already knew. He already knew that that's the line that when I cross it, I'm going to do the wrong thing. But he kept doing it anyway. Why? Because he wanted to fall into impurity. It's good to look at your actual motives. Okay, when I was dating my wife, once we got engaged, it became so difficult to just like, we really wanted that white wedding. We thought, here's the line. We're not going to even kiss at all until we get married. You know what? I'll have the rest of our lives to be physically intimate. We're going to draw the line right here because every time that we're engaging and just in passionate kissing, we find that it's so difficult to stay pure that, you know, you might end up in the confessional again. So let's just draw the line there. Let's pick the simple solution. And when people don't do the simple thing required, it's often because they don't actually want the change at the end of the day. So one, we're proud. Two, you don't actually want to change. Three, we're busy. We're busy. And how tragic is that? I want you to think about this for a second. Some of the most important things in your life, you let what's important get devoured by what's urgent. And I know there's guys who are like, yeah, I need to take care of myself better. And they never do it. I actually was talking to my friend Archbishop Shapu about this. I'm like, yeah, I need to go to a chiropractor. And I think I need to go to counseling to deal with some things. And he's like, is he going to do it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I don't believe you. What do you mean you don't believe me? Because you said that 5 years ago, Chris. Okay, fine. So many of us are going to hit the end of our lives. And by the way, I got home from that trip with Shapu, my archbishop friend, who I look up to so much. Love you, man, if you're watching. And I decided, I'm going to go to a chiropractor and I'm going to deal with some emotional stuff I've had to deal with for a while. How many of us at the end of our lives are going to look back and say, dang, that was busy? Too busy to get to the most important things? Really? Or how many guys have marital problems and like 10 years later look back and think, yeah, I still need to deal with those same problems because I've been too busy to do anything required to give time to the most important things in my life. So one, we're proud. Two, we don't actually want to change. Three, we let what's urgent crowd out what's important. Four, I think this is maybe maybe the most frequent reason. We don't actually want to take the simple steps because they're hard. I'll give you an example. You need to diet, maybe, right? You need to lose 10 pounds. So what happens? We complicate things. We overcomplicate things because we don't want to do the simple thing. So we become an expert in every single diet under the sun because we don't simply want to consume less calories and work out more because that's painful. But you got to just do the simple thing sometimes. Okay, here's my challenge, guys. If you want a big change, stop looking at your life from the 35,000 foot view, come down to the ground and think, what are the 3-4 simple things I'm going to put in place to start making that big, massive change? I think of Saint Benedict. He wanted to be a saint. He wanted to get to heaven. What did he do? He came up with a simple rule for life that he would follow and that his brothers would follow. And it started the Western monastic movement. It changed the world. If it weren't for the Benedictine monasteries, we wouldn't have the classics because they preserved all the classic writings. If you read Cicero, if you read Seneca, if you read all these guys and Plato and Aristotle, you know, you have the monks to thank for that. Because as the barbarian hordes swept through Europe, they burned all the books. It was the Benedictines who preserved all the stuff that you're enjoying today. But they most of all preserved holiness. They preserved sanity. They preserved their life and they became saints. How? A simple rule for life. And they just stuck to it day after day. How do you need to put some simple rules in place? If you want to make massive change, start there. Stop thinking big. Stop thinking 35,000 foot view. Think, what are the simple things I could put into place to change my life today? So my son and his wife, they wanted to work on the relationship. And my son's a very wise kid. Takes after his mom. So anyway, he was, you know, they were thinking about rules they could put in place to improve their relationship. Here's the beauty, guys. Instead of simply thinking, I want to have a better relationship, they thought, I want to have a better relationship. So what can I do? What baby steps can I take to improve my relationship? So I'm going to read a few of the things to you that might help you in your marriage. We will give thanks for one thing daily to our spouse. That's number one. Two, no cussing during a fight. Cool. See, because they didn't just have this vague goal to be more peaceful during fighting. They put it into practice in a simple way that could actually accomplish the goal. Beautiful. Three, instead of saying you when we fight, we'll say I feel blank when you blank because blank. That's cool. Number four, wake up and pray together before the kids wake up. Number five, Jenna makes Ethan tea every morning and Ethan makes Jenna tea every morning. Guys, these are simple little things, but how beautiful, because so often we think, okay, I want to make a change. I want to have a better marriage. That want means nothing if you don't put it into practice in simple, practical, small ways. Don't be like Naaman the Syrian and walk away from the simple, or you'll never be healed. I think of James, it's a great reading from James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Amen. There's an old joke, you can't get there from here. It's a joke because, you know, you ask for directions, you can't get there from here. It's a joke because you can literally get anywhere on earth from anywhere that you are. But in order to get there, you have to actually start the journey. You have to actually take simple, small steps. Don't despair. Don't run away from the simple. Don't resist the simple because it's hard. Don't resist the simple because you don't want to see the actual end goal taking place. I'm going to call you on your junk. If you want to actually make change, take the simple steps. And like Naaman the Syrian, you could bathe in the stream and your skin could become like that of a baby. Amen. Had to share this with you too. They built a beautiful shrine to Our Lady of Lourdes here at this parish in Vera, Florida. What an awesome place to pray. I love you guys. And if you were at Reboot last night, 2/3 of God's name is go. Keep it up.